Praise the Lord. Tomorrow's Valentine's Day. Love Day. Like God said, every day should be Love Day, just not one day. Amen. I don't care if you have a spouse or not, or a boyfriend or anything else. What keeps you from loving? Well, I don't have a husband. Well, hey, join the club. Right? Anyhow, your husband's God, right? It's Jesus we're supposed to be in love with. Come on. I want you to think about this. Here we go. Oh, if I just had a guy, you know, the best guy in the world is Jesus. And he loves you, unconditionally loves you. And can't you say amen to that? If you ever look at yourself in the mirror sometimes, you don't have to look in the mirror, you just hear yourself sometimes. You know, you thank God that you are, he does love you, right? Well, Father, we thank you this morning, and we just praise you and give you all honor and all glory. And Father God, you see each and every heart here this morning. And Father, I know you look down from heaven and you just shake your head because you shed all your love upon us. And we're still looking for love in all the wrong places. But I'm asking this morning, Father God, that you send your angelic host in this building. And Father God, minister to your people. And let them leave here this morning, Father God, knowing that they are surely loved by you. And that is all that they need. We thank you for your Son, Jesus, your Holy Spirit, and your angels too, Father God, who are here among us this morning. And we just thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. How many of you are glad we didn't get the snow? But to say, they said there's a mixture coming this afternoon. Everything's a mixture anymore, right? Nothing is way it should be. Everything's a mixture. Well, this morning we're going to talk about fragmented love and supernatural love. And the first part of it's all from God. So let's just start with that. God said, if you would stack the promises I have given you all the days of your lives, one upon another, you would not be able to see the top of the stack. My promises are yes and they are amen, and they go from everlasting to everlasting. Now that is the truth, but the enemy will not allow you to believe that truth. For if you believed that truth, he would have no more dominion over you. You would be like my Son Jesus and say, it is written. I want to read that paragraph over again. Now that is the truth, but the enemy will not allow you to believe that truth. For if you believed that truth, he would have no more dominion over you. You would be like my Son Jesus and say, it is written. If we really believed that God loves us, and then when he gives us a promise, he's going to keep that promise, and we really believed that and would not allow the enemy to steal that from us, we wouldn't be fragmented the way we are. God said, my body of true believers still have a hard time navigating through the truth that I speak into their lives. Every time they start believing, the adversary throws another stone their way. Why do my beloved ones always believe the lies of the enemy? Ask yourself that question. I say you are healed, and he whispers into your ears that you will die. I say my grace is sufficient, and the adversary whispers there is no more grace for a sinner like you. It goes on and on and on. Why have you placed the lie on a pedestal? Why is it that it is easier to believe the lie than it is to accept the truth? Ponder on these things and see what you come up with. It all boils down to trust. What are you going to trust? My words of truth or the lies of the deceiver? And Psalm 20, verse 7 says, some trust in and boast of chariots and some of horses, but we will trust in the boast of the name of the Lord our God. Too many in the body of Christ are trusting in the lies of the enemy and not trusting in the words of God. Every time God gives you a promise, the enemy comes by to try to steal that promise. He will make the circumstances around about you look like it is never going to happen. And this is what God's talking about. We need to stop believing the lies of the enemy. God said, my body is still fragmented. They are still trying to figure out what I'm doing in their lives. Instead of just being and allowing me to do the perfect works through them and to them, another word for, I'm sorry, that's all he says. And so I put down another word for fragmented is disconnected, split, having been divided, having the unity destroyed. So let's go back and read that paragraph. My body is still fragmented. You're still split, disconnected, divided. See that? Unity is destroyed. They are still trying to figure out what I am doing in their lives instead of just being and allowing me to do the perfect works through them and to them. It is very hard to just be. Following God is just very hard to just be because we are human beings that want to know everything right up front. And we really aren't used to trusting anybody, including ourselves. And so, you know, and God said, just be and let me work through you and do to you what I want to do to you. But we have a hard time doing that. Now, God said, how many ways can I say I love you and I will never leave nor forsake you? Ask yourself that. How many ways can you do that? How many ways can I show you that you are loved and special to me? I don't know how to get to you anymore. That's a shame. Every time I see you make progress, the enemy comes with his lies and sets you back a pace or two. You are warriors, but you are not doing the works of a warrior. Let's take a look at Peter. Peter also professed to be a warrior in Luke 22:31. See, and God keeps calling us warriors, 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 warriors. But he's saying, and that is true. I can tell you, I watched the body of Christ, and the body of Christ is not being warriors. Luke 22:31, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. See, his faith was going to fail. And Jesus told him it would fail. But he also told him that he was going to return back to his faith. And at that point, he was supposed to give his testimony and be a witness. But Peter said to him, Lord, I am ready to go with you both to prison and to death. Then he said, then Jesus said, I tell you, Peter, the rooster shall not crow this day before you will deny three times that you know me. You know, I was thinking yesterday, why do people not want to die? The minute somebody finds out they're going to die or have a death sentence, I don't want to die, I don't want to die. You know, even murderers do that. They don't mind going around killing everybody else, but when they find out they're going to go to the electric chair or whatever they do with them, I don't want to die. Why is it people don't want to die? You know, if Christians don't want to, you know, why do Christians not want to die? Because, you know, we're going to go to heaven. I mean, this just struck my spirit yesterday, and I got to thinking about this. I got about thinking about what the King Nebuchadnezzar was in the Bible. You know, the prophet went to him and told him he was going to die, and the minute he left the room, he turned to the wall and said, oh, God, don't kill me yet. And so God gave him 15 more. Why are we like that? Did you ever think about that? The minute you get it, you got cancer. Oh, I don't want to die. You know. I just think about this. Why do we do that? We are funny creatures. You know, let's just say if you have cancer, sometimes you're in so much pain, you just soon die. But then you say, no, no, God, no, I didn't mean that. I don't want to die. I just want you to think. With that, just think about that. All right. We do the same thing with God's love. One day you know he loves you and he's there for you. Next day you say, God, where are you at? Have you left me or nor forsaken me? Aren't we funny? All right, Matthew 26:67. Then they spat in his face, you know, Jesus. Then they spat in his face and beat him. And others struck him with the palms of their hands, saying, prophesy to us, Christ. Who is the one who struck you? Now Peter sat outside in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him saying, you also were with Jesus of Galilee. But Jesus denied it before them all, saying, I do not know what you were saying. And when he had gone out of the gateway, another girl saw him and said to those who were there, "This fellow also was with Jesus of Nazareth." But again, Peter denied with an oath, "I do not know this man." And a little later, those who stood by came up and said to Peter, "Surely you also are one of them, for your speech betrays you." Then Peter began to curse and swear, saying, "I do not know the man." Immediately a rooster crowed. Excuse me, what he just told Jesus, I'm ready to go to death with you. Now all of a sudden he doesn't want to die. He's denying Christ. In verse 75 said, and Peter remembered the word of Jesus who had said to him, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." So he went out and wept bitterly. Now let's just stop here. What are you going to do? Really? People say, well, if somebody come into the church and say that if I don't deny Christ, they're going to shoot me or cut my head off. And you would say, I'd tell them, go ahead and shoot me or cut my head off. Would you? Would you really? Or would you be like Peter? You know, these things you need to think about. You're so quick to say, oh, I wouldn't do that. But you're also was quick to say, here I am, Lord, use me. And God started using you. And you didn't like what you had to go through to be used. And some of you wish you wouldn't have said, here I am, Lord, use me. You see what I'm saying? We shoot our mouth off when we need to just be quiet and be. And just wait for God. So God said, my body is just like Peter. They love me and so desire to follow me. But the minute the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, they cave in and deny my power that abides within me, in them. I should have just read this instead of saying what I said. See what he said? They cave in and deny my power that abides within them. Children, I am ready to move heaven and earth to bring you all my promises. This is your year of receiving the very best heaven has for the church. Now, are you going to believe what he's just now telling you? This is God, not me. I'm ready to move heaven and earth to bring you all my promises. This is your year of receiving the very best heaven has for the church. It seems as though I have abandoned you, but just the opposite is true. I am with you stronger than ever. A lot of us, you know, have felt like God's abandoned us in the past, let's say 10 years. But he says, this is the opposite. I'm with you stronger than ever. This is the last days, and I have brought you to overcome the enemy's threats, and that is all he has, is threats. All right, so he said, this is the last days, and I have brought you. And I put down fortitude to overcome. He's given you fortitude to overcome the enemy's threats and that is all he has is threats. Guys, look, you know, that is all the enemy has is just threats. And if you've been going through some things, you know, let's just say pain in your body. Let's just say your children or something. You've been going through something and the enemy is just bombarding you right and left. It's just his threats. If God has given you a promise, that's what you need to stand on and quit listening to what the enemy is saying. The body of Christ is messed up. We know that. We've known that. But come on, body of Christ, we need to straighten up. We need to be true children of God. And we need to quit vacillating between sin and holiness. We need to walk in holiness, and we need to walk in integrity is what we need to walk in. And just do the things God's calling us for to do. We need to start. We don't need to start. We should have been witnesses for Christ a long time ago. I mean, I can tell you, we can tell you, a lot of us sitting in here, the things we've gone through, God loved us, and that's the only reason why we came through it. And he constantly told you to, even in your own secret places, I'm with you. I've never left you nor forsaken you. With Brother Brett, he came and sang over him in the darkest time of his sickness. I mean, what more can you ask for? What more can you ask for? All right, so we have to suffer. But Jesus suffered. And it is not a rose garden walking with God. It is not. Because you have to fight the enemy. All right, the word fortitude means courage in pain or adversity. courage, bravery, strength of mind, strength of character. These are all things that God has given you. He's given you fortitude, moral strength, toughness of spirit, and firmness of purpose. You turn to a bottle, you turn to pornography, you turn to perversion, you turn to, drugs, you turn to everything but to Jesus and the things he's told us and given to us. I mean, some of these songs, the one we didn't sing, the reason why I cut off is there's no words, and I don't approve of no words, because I don't know about you, but I can't understand what they're singing without the words, because they slur the words. But, come on. Tomorrow's a day of love. And if you can't receive the love of Christ, why are you wanting some man or some woman to give you love? It's God who loves you the most. God said the enemy has no weapon that can defeat any child of God, any child of God. He is a pillager, but his pillaging days are over. I had to look that up. Pillage means to take things from a place by force, especially during a war. And we're in a war. An enemy has come to steal, kill, and destroy. God just step up to the plate of victory and watch the heads of the enemy roll. My banner over my children is love. Strict, unadulterated, agape love that cannot be destroyed. My banner over my children is love. Strict, unadulterated, agape love that cannot be destroyed. Only God can love you like that. There's no man or no woman anywhere on this earth that can love you like God can. Song of Solomon says in 2:4, he brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. This love transcends all evil. He brought him where? To the banqueting table. What has God, the banqueting house, it says here. But what has God been inviting us to do? Come and dine. He wants us to go into the banqueting house, sit at his table, and let him feed you fresh manna from heaven. How many of us go to the devil? We go to the world and sit at their table, and we eat the things of the world, right? All right, transcend means to be or go beyond the range or limits of something abstract, typically a conceptual field or division. All right, I said when we talk about hope for marriages, hope for relationships, and hope for families, God's love is the answer. Agape is the answer, and agape is a Greek word for God's love. Okay, you say, what is the big deal about God's love? So what's the big deal about God's love? How is agape love any different from natural human love? And number 3, why on earth is this agape love so important? Without this, you can't make it. I have found no man or no woman that loves me like God does. He doesn't point out my flaws and my failures. He points out my uniqueness, doesn't he? You think, did you ever get a prophetic word and you think, God, are you looking at the right person? Because you're just the opposite of what he's telling you in your mind. But when he's speaking to you, he's speaking to the person he knows is there, not the one that the enemy has messed up. He's speaking to the child that he created and he loves. If we can get that in our spirit, we might change. All right, then. I said, why on earth is this agape love so important? What is God's love? The Bible tells us that agape is a person. And 1 John 4:7-8 says, beloved, let us love one another. Let us love one another. Not gossip about one another. Not nitpick one another, but love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. You see that? If you can't love people, then it's telling me I'm not of God. Let this sink into your spirit, man. Well, you don't know what he did to me. Well, God does. But God said, you have to love me. He didn't say you have to go sit at their table. But he says you have to love them. 1 John 4:7-12. My beloved friends, let us continue to love each other, since love comes from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and experiences a relationship with God. That says everyone who loves is born of God and experiences a relationship with God. I believe with all of my heart that people are born again but don't have a relationship with God. And that is why they can't love. Because it's only whenever you start having a relationship with God, you realize there is a God of love. And you realize that that God loves you. No matter what's going on in your life, he loves you. And he only wants the very best for you. Right? You know, if the men in marriages would want only the very best for their wives and said, well, you're not satisfying me. Well, you're not doing this and you're not doing that. That's not love. That's selfishness. Come on. Verse 8 said, the person who refuses to love doesn't know the first thing about God. Because God is love, so you can't know him if you don't love. This is how God showed his love for us. God sent his only son into the world so we might live through him. You know, who was it? Abraham was supposed to offer up his son, Isaac. I don't know if I could do that. I mean, I don't know if I could even start doing it like he did. But see, he did it because he trusted and had faith in God. And he told his son, don't worry, there's going to be a sacrifice. But would we even begin? He didn't argue with God. When I read the story, I don't see where he argued with God. Well, I don't want to do this and that and the other. We would go through all kind of gyrations. Then we wouldn't do it anyhow. You know, God says, God might say, you have to leave your husband. But I love him. I don't want to leave him. But God said, you have to leave your husband. You don't know what God's doing. You don't know what his plans are. And so you don't leave. Then you get messed up. And if you would just left, God would work the kinks out. And then he'd have brought you back together. And you'd have been a perfect couple. That is, if it was a God, the marriage is called of God. Sometimes the marriages aren't called of God, and as long as you stay in them, you're going to live in a perfect hell, right? All right, this is how God showed his love for us. God sent his only son into the world so we might live through him. This is the kind of love we are talking about, not that we once upon a time loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice to clear away our sins and the damage they've done to our relationship with God. Verse 11 says, my dear, dear friends, if God loved us like this, we certainly ought to love each other. We can't even get people in our own home to love each other. We've been working on this for years now and still cannot get the people in our house to love each other. Isn't that a shame? They want you to love them, but they don't want to love others. And my house is not the only house like that. There's houses like that all over the world, right? I'm hearing God say, that's because you're a selfish lot. Verse 12, no one has seen God ever, but if we love one another, God dwells deeply within us, and his love becomes complete in us, perfect love. Now, how many of you've been going long time with your love walk for years and years and years and years, and all of a sudden in the last 2 years, you've been having trouble with your love walk? Why is that? Oh, I'm going to use my own self. The last 2 years, I've been struggling with that, and I've always had a wonderful love walk. I really have. Why is that? It's because God is demanding that we love one another, and he's demanding that we be children of love And the enemy's coming in and throwing everything at us that he can possibly put, dredge up and throwing at us so that we don't love. And if we get out of love, we're done. Because love is what gives us power. Love is what gives us authority. And that is why you're being fought in your love walk, because the enemy's trying to take you out. And that even goes within the church whenever you don't understand somebody and you're trying to get them to be like you, and they can't be like you. They weren't made in your mold. And so you don't love them. Instead, you criticize and do all kind of dumb stuff, right? We see this going on all the time in the house of God, but it shouldn't be. We should accept people as they are and love them through their difficult times, through their bad circumstances. All right, this is what makes Christianity so totally different from all the other religions in the world, is the love. Christianity is the only religion where God himself, who is love, comes to dwell within each of our hearts. Now, we're going to read a story. Art Katz, a brilliant Jewish philosopher, was a teacher at the University of California at Berkeley. After years of seeking truth, he decided to travel around the world in search of the real God. As he traveled, he took time to painstakingly explore all the religions that he encountered. One day, while riding a train to Frankfurt, Germany, Art happened to sit next to a young Christian girl who had only a few days previously become a believer. They began to talk about God. She was only a believer for a few days. See that? They began to talk about God. A few minutes into this conversation, Art sarcastically turned to the girl and asked, "What makes you think your Jesus is any different from all the other religions of the world?" The young girl paused a moment and then lovingly looked Art straight in the eye and said, "Because Jesus is God. He is love, and he lives in my heart. See, we go into this long, drawn-out thing about God, right? And then we try to convince them that what we believe is real. All she said is, "Because he is love and he lives in my heart." This was not at all the response that Art had expected. See, the reason why we go into our long, drawn-out things is because we don't know about his love. We don't know he lives in our heart. You know, the majority of Christians do not know that. And so we try to substitute things and say different things about him, right? And all we have to do is say, "He's love. He is," he said himself, "he's unadulterated agape love." Right? You know, somebody might come up to you, Alan, and say, "Well, Alan, why do you serve God?" You can say, "He's the only person I know that loves me just as I am. And that's why I serve him." It's not what he can give you, not what he can do for you. You love him because you serve him because he first loved you. Right? And then see, I can introduce you to that God of love, if you would like. And then start giving your testimony how you was a mess. Out and how he came with his love, and he just kept loving you and loving you and loving you till one day you finally had that encounter with him that changed your whole life, the whole way you think. That is your testimony, right? That's the best way you could ever talk to somebody. They don't want you go into all this other junk that you go into, then they want to argue about it, and you know, but they can't argue love. They just can't. All right. In fact, it caught Art totally off guard. He never saw that sweet girl again, but for months, he could not get her simple answer out of his head. Over and over, those words echoed in his mind, "Because Jesus is God and he lives in my heart." Art thought, whoever heard of a religion like that? Finally, at the end of his trip, Art found himself in Jerusalem, Israel, his homeland. He befriended a man there that secretly was a Messianic Jew, a Jew who has found Jesus to be the true Messiah. After a series of lengthy conversations with his friend and some God-orchestrated circumstances, Art finally found what he was looking for. And the God of the universe, who is agape love, just as that young Christian girl on the train had said, came to dwell at the core of his being. So simple. So simple. And, you know, a lot of us, you know, we don't have anybody to love. You know, we don't have a husband or, you know, that will love us. And sometimes you might feel lonely, and you know, because God knew we needed a mate, and that's why he made Eve for Adam. And if you're laying on your bed and you're crying out to God, I'm just lonely today, I need you to come and love me like only you can love me. And you be all things to me today. I'm going to tell you, that'll just fill you right on up, won't it? It'll take, if you're really lonely, it'll take all that loneliness away. Sometimes, you know, a man and woman can live in the same house and never know each other. So you don't have anything anyhow. So why not just be alone and have Jesus? He'll never abuse you, I can guarantee you that. And he will always be there for you. Ephesians 3:17 through 19 tells us that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, so that ye may know the love of God which passeth knowledge. God's love is a supernatural love that is poured into our hearts the moment we invite Jesus into our lives. It's God himself who comes into our hearts at that moment, and he is that love. And one of the reasons so many of us have had problems finding real love is that we have been looking in all the wrong places for it. Rather than looking to the author of real love, we have been looking horizontally to our spouses, our families, our friends, and our relatives to meet our need for love. And they simply are not able to do so. If you're really honest, your husband or wife, let's say your spouse, does not meet your deep need that you have. They really don't. There's always like a little void. Because, see, God wants you to rely on him and his love and not on flesh and blood. He didn't put us together so we would desert him. He put us together because he wants us to have somebody to fellowship with and to be happy with. But he wants to be the center of all things that you do. Real love is a person. God's love can't be found in a church building or in a religion or in different philosophies. Real love can only be found in a person. Jesus Christ is the embodiment of real love from the Father to us. His love is a love that not only elects whom it will love, but also initiates and maintains that love relationship. It's a love that focuses all of its intentions and abilities on the one being loved by putting their will and their desires above its own. I know a married couple in here right now that the husband has put all his, his whole life behind or at the bottom so he can put all his attention on his wife because that's what God told him to do. He's not trying to meet his own desires. He's trying to make sure his wife is being loved the way Christ loved the church. It didn't work out that way, but that's what was God's intentions. Some of you wives, you're too selfish and self-centered. When I married my second husband, I believe a wife has her duties in a household. I don't think you should lay around in the bed all day long, being on your tablet and waiting for your husband to come wait on you when he's worked all day. I don't believe in that. And seeing my second husband thought that's the way life was. You just sat there and he waited on you hand and foot while he did his own manly duty, you know, work too. And he said, "You're too independent. You don't need nobody." No, that's not true. We need each do our part, right, according to the word. But too many women are just laying around with their feet propped up, getting fat and happy, and wearing their husband out. It's Valentine's Monday. I think some women need to reevaluate the way they treat their husbands. And I think some husbands need to reevaluate the way they treat their wives. And I think, with you don't have to agree with me, but I think with all my heart that God wants us to have the agape love of God within us. And then our love for others won't be fragmented, but it will be pure and holy. Don't you believe that? This kind of love, I said it, God's love, it originates in the heart of God and just keeps on coming no matter what the one being loved does or doesn't do. This kind of love never stops flowing. In other words, there are no conditions or stipulations which would cause real love to cease. Then I said to be continued, because we're going to continue this tonight. So I said, this kind of love never stops flowing. In other words, there are no conditions or stipulations which would cause real love to cease. So if love ceases, was it real? It wasn't real. And so you got out of it exactly what was in it, nothing. I don't know why people, get together. I know my first marriage, when I was getting ready to walk down the aisle, God said, do not walk down that aisle. I didn't know God's voice. I didn't know who said that. And I walked down that aisle. And I paid for 45 years. He wasn't abusive, but he didn't love me either. And I stayed together so I could raise my three daughters, because I promised God, if I ever get married, there will never be a divorce. My children will not know what it is to have an in-law, mother-in-law, whatever, a stepmother. So for 45 years, I paid for that one disobedient act. So stop and think, really, truly, instead of accusing the man of not loving you, stop and think, what did you do in disobedience that you're married to somebody that doesn't love you? You have to think about these things. I mean, he did love me, but he had problems, and so therefore then he didn't love me. And I'm just sharing this with you so maybe you understand what has happened in your life. And, you know, it's best to have God choose your mate than you choose your mate, because you don't know what you want anyhow. Yeah, a lot of people get mad because God chose their mate and they didn't have a chance to choose their own mate, but you're a little bit dumb on that. Because if God chooses your mate, then everything's going to work out fine. Come on. What kind of love do you have in your heart? If you're going to get offended at every little thing that's said to you, do you really walk in love? Because love knows no offense. And once you get perfected in love, you find out you no longer get offended. All right? I want you, each and every one of you, to think in here this morning, am I true walking in the love that God would have me walk in? Am I walking in that unadulterated agape love that God has in him? And because I received him as my Lord and Savior and I'm working for him, I now walk in that same type of love. I want you to really think about this. There's a person I can't stand, and I'm being honest, can't stand them. And God said, if you can't live what you're preaching, don't stand behind this pulpit. So I said, I guess I'll stand in front of the pulpit this morning. But I do love, and God told me that this person is not of him, that this person is of the devil, and that God doesn't want this person around me. So, but I still feel guilty. I still do things for this person, but it's not out of a heart that I do for others like I do for others. It's not, you know, a wholehearted thing. It's just because this person has a need. Usually everybody I've ever done anything for, it's because I just do it, you know. You just do it. But now, you know, this person is just because they're human and they have a need, and I feel like I have to do something, even though God told me to do nothing. But that love of God is in me. And I just can't, All right, so let me just tell you something else. You know, when Jimmy was born, I told Teresa, if you have a boy, don't bring him into my home. I don't want no boys in my home, and I have three now. But anyhow, I didn't go to the hospital the first day to see him, did I, Teresa? I think it was the second day. My husband said, you have to. I said, I don't want to see no boy. And so I went. So he said, you've got to go. So I went. She was over in Baltimore, I think. But I walked in there, and somebody put this little rat in my hand. Didn't he look like a little rat? He was just so tiny and so red and so wrinkled. And God said, you didn't carry this child in your womb, but this is your son. I want you to raise him up in my ways because I'm going to use him. And I said, but I don't love him. I don't want a boy. He said, I'm putting a love in your heart right now. You will love this boy, and nobody will be able to take that love out of your heart. And I went, and all of a sudden I loved this little thing, this little red thing in my hand, you know, and I told Teresa, isn't he beautiful? And we took a picture of him, and I took him to church to work the next day. I said, isn't he beautiful? And they all said, yeah, Barbara, yeah, he really is. Yeah, because he wasn't, but you know, and that boy has really done some dumb things, but the love is there. The love is there. I'll say to Teresa, I'm not going to do it. Next thing is, go ahead and do it. Because why? God placed that love in my heart. That boy is going to serve God. You know, and so I'm just showing you that kind of love. God can put a love in your heart. All right, even my second husband, God wanted me to marry him. I said, I don't even love him. I said, he's one of the people that sit out there. He said, I'm going to put a love in your heart for him. And he did. And it's still there. God, you know, even though he's gone, it's still there. When God places a love in your heart for somebody, there's nothing can shake it out of you. Absolutely nothing. You know, but when you try to love people on your own, it doesn't work. How many, and I've told you this too. There's people, so I've met people I couldn't love, and I'd say, God, you're going to have to love them through me because I cannot love them right now. And God loved them through me until I could love them. Now, don't go marrying somebody you don't love and say, God's good. No, he isn't either. Some of you just need to drop what you got and move on because God has something better for you. I've never seen so many people can't drop what they have that's destroying them and move on for something better. You know, that's why I don't like to counsel people because they really want to do what they want to do anyhow. And unless God changes their heart, they're going to go ahead and do it. No, and you're sitting there watching them destroy themselves, but they've determined their heart, they're going to do this thing no matter what happens in life. Don't be one of those. Walk and have the agape, unadulterated agape love of God in your heart, then walk in that, and God will work through you. He'll lead you to people that only you can minister to. You know, every one of us in here, there's people that we won't be able to minister to because God has somebody else appointed to minister to them. So don't worry if you don't get somebody saved. You might be just the one that drops the seed. Then the Bible said somebody else comes along and waters the seed. Then the Bible says that somebody else comes along and harvests, in other words, gets them saved. We're just supposed to be loving vessels that God can work through no matter what the situation. But I can guarantee you the biggest thing in the body of Christ is we are not listening to God's voice and we're doing things in our own flesh that God does not want us to do. Well, you know, I have to love everybody. Yes, you can love everybody. But you are not the one that God wants to minister to that person. All right, because the two of you will buck heads and you just aren't going to make it. Let the love of God lead, guide, and direct you. And you know, I'm like, God, why do we just sit one day aside to really love, really show our appreciation, really, you know, bring out the flowers and make the florist rich, you know, and all that stuff? Why can't we just do that every day? Wouldn't it be nice? Well, you don't have a husband. Wouldn't it be nice, Nancy, if your husband just, you went home and he just had a box of chocolates for you? You know, just out of the blue. Just, he said, here, honey, you know, this, you know. Well, it's Valentine's Day, so I had to go buy you a rose. That's not love. something you have to do because that's what everybody else does. Love. Love is your foundation. If you don't have love as your foundation, your walk is no good. What's God going to ask us? Bob Jones was in heaven, and God said, what did he say? The one question he's going to ask you when you stand before him, did you learn to love? Do you know why not very many find the narrow gate? They've never learned to love. Love is, you know, in the world we live in right now, loving people's hard. Loving people's really hard. And I really believe this is our final test of time. Will you love no matter what the circumstance is? Now, let's not get this twisted. Let's keep it in, right in order the way it should be. But love is Christ's love. God told me one time that the world no longer knows the word love. They know lust, but they don't know love. Also told me one time, he says, that human beings act worse than animals when it comes to love. That's sad, but it's true. But it's sad, isn't it? Because us older folk, we know what real love is all about, right? And then the perversion, everything came in. It's no longer love. It's lust. But we in here this morning, we know what love is, right? We're not going to walk in lust, are we? We're going to walk in the love of God, and we're going to love each other. And we're going to go out there into a dark, dying world. And we are going to show them the love of God no matter what it takes. Simply show them the love of God. Not take a book that you wrote or something. How many of you was first born again? Somebody stuck a book in your hand and said, here, read this. It'll help you. You know, I don't know how many books I had stuck in my hand. Here, this will help you in your walk with God. Why didn't they just say to me, do you know that God loves you? Because I didn't. Why did they just say, do you know now that you receive, you became born again, now you have God in your heart, and he's a God of love? I didn't know that. They said they gave me a book. Well, Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, the word went forth, and what the people do with the word is up to them. But I'm asking right now, Father God, to water the word with the blood of Jesus so that the enemy can't steal it. And Holy Spirit, I'm asking you to go deep down inside of each one of our hearts. If there's anything in there that's not lovable and loving, root it out. Make us holy and pure so we can be true vessels of love and honor for the Father. Let us exemplify Jesus. And Father God, I thank you and I praise you for it. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. If anybody wants prayer because you know that your love walk is not where it should be, and you would just like to have a little bit more reinforcement from heaven, if you want prayer, if you come up, we'll pray for you. We're going to anoint you with oil.